of the 15 people, the original 15, as I call them, 8 of them have returned to their homes, to stay in their homes until fully recovered. 1 is in the hospital, and 5 have fully recovered, and 1 is, we think, in pretty good shape, and it's in between hospital and going home. So we have a total of, we have a total of 15 people, and they're in a process of recovering, with some already having fully recovered.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Fire You Can't Put Out. My name is Melvin, and I want to thank you so much for being here. Just, I wanted to remind everybody that it wasn't all that long ago that this wasn't going to be a real thing. 15 people, the original 15, the United States got out ahead of everybody with respect to being an absolute failure when getting a handle on this disease. And as I hit the record button for today's episode, we have now just hit 1 million cases of the coronavirus, confirmed cases in the United States, and 56,000 deaths. Now, obviously, there's an asterisk on those numbers because we still don't have much in the way of testing. We're not doing all of the testing that we're supposed to be doing. Tests are not readily available. I was looking at the president's Twitter account recently and saw that he was boasting, crowing, about how we have 5 million tests now in the United States. 5 million tests. 5 million. With a population of 320 million, and this is true, and the official White House Twitter account called that winning. Now, if you do the math for, say, when we learned about the coronavirus to when we first started getting tests to how many tests now, you stretch that out, it's going to take the Trump administration 20 years to test every single person. And who knows how many we will have lost at that point. I try not to get into what I refer to as whataboutisms, but I can't help but do that this time around because, see, I want everyone to remember back to Terri Schiavo. Does everyone remember Terry? If you don't, this was a woman who was in a vegetative state for about 20 years. She was never, ever coming out of it. She was effectively brain dead. They were feeding her through a feeding tube. She had an accident, and she ended up in this vegetative state. Her husband had since more or less gotten over it, moved on, had children with another woman, just completely moved on with his life. And she was being kept alive in this hospital for what really seemed like no good reason. And her husband said, you know what? We've already accepted the fact that she's dead and that she's not coming back. Let's just go ahead and take the feeding tube out. George W. Bush was the president of the United States at that time. And he, along with a whole lot of other Republicans, saw an opportunity that they could not miss. This was going to be their chance to show the entire country how goddamn pro-life they are. Because this woman, who was effectively dead, except for the machines that were keeping her alive, they're going to show you how pro-life they are by fighting to keep that feeding tube in her body. Fighting to keep her alive. Sean Hannity made this a nightly thing on his show. And before you knew it, Sean Hannity viewers, by and large, and of course, supporters of President Bush, were outside the hospital holding up signs, "Save Terri Schiavo," right? They villainized her husband. And one person actually went into the hospital, like after the feeding tube had been removed, and tried to pour food and water down Terri Schiavo's throat. The Republicans in Congress passed a bill to save Terri Schiavo, and the president, President Bush, flew back from his Crawford, Texas ranch to Washington, D.C. in order to sign that bill that the Republicans had passed to save one person. One person. Because nobody is going to accuse them of not being pro-life. They're so pro-life, they went through all of this to save one person. But it was a stunt. It was a publicity stunt. And it was meant to make them look like something that they really weren't. Eventually, the feeding tube was removed, and Terri Schiavo went quietly into the light. Over. But things like this get staged by the modern-day conservatives to just show you how serious they are about protecting life. Another one. The death panels. Y'all remember the death panels? The supposed death panels? This was something that was started by, if I remember correctly, Sarah Palin. Sarah Palin said, you can't change the healthcare system, because if you change the healthcare system, you're going to have what are called death panels. And these are the people you go in front of, and they decide if you're going to live or die based on how much money it's going to cost to save you. Does anybody remember the death panels? And the Republicans were, God damn it, they're so outraged, they just got to save people's lives. And of course, what we knew full well at that time was that our current healthcare system, those were the real death panels, because private for-profit health insurance companies up to that point and to this day in 2020 were the people deciding if it is worth it to save your life, because they are denying treatment to people if they don't want to pay for it, denying your claims, denying coverage. Those were the real death panels. But once again, the modern day conservative movement did this thing where they jumped in front of people and they said, we are the party of pro-life. It's a pretty good record, right? Look at all the things that they're doing to save lives. Bombing abortion clinics. Look, they're just there to protect lives. Killing abortion doctors. They're just there to save lives. So how is that discussion going now? Now that we are in the middle of a pandemic and people are dying, we've crossed 1 million confirmed cases and 56,000 deaths. How is that going now? The Trump administration said roughly about 6 weeks ago, maybe 5 weeks ago, somewhere in that time frame, every day feels like a week now and every week feels like a year. I'm having a hard time figuring out the time, and I'm sure you are too. But what the Trump administration said was that if they have between 200 and 250,000 deaths, then that would be considered a victory. And it looks like when all is said and done, you consider how long it took us to get to 56,000 deaths. And the fact that this virus is expected to be with us for the next, I'd say, 18 months, easy. It's not necessarily going to be raging and tearing through the population like it is now, but it is expected to be with us for a long time. And the fact that we're at 56,000 deaths now. Now, in the states where they've done something about this, obviously the deaths are slowing, and that's good news. But in the places where they've done little to nothing, or in places like Florida and Georgia, where they've already reopened, obviously the numbers in those states are going to start going back up. So the question that I want to pose to you today, and I have to apologize, my new podcast studio is in a different section of my property, and if you're listening to the show through headphones, you could probably hear the cock-a-doodle-doo, the chicken's egg. You know what? I don't care. I'm completely fine with that. For those of you that are listening to your car and in your house, you may or may not hear. But for those of you that are listening headphones, if you listen real hard, you can definitely hear the chickens over there. So back to what I was saying. I'm creating a record of this time because these are interesting times that we live through. So my question is, when did they go from the party of pro-life, right? Protect any life at any cost, to this new discussion where they're talking about what an acceptable death level would be. Now, everyone is going to have their own answers to this, but let me try this. My answer is they've always been. Not pro-life, but anti-life. Melvin, you can't say that. They've talked about killing abortion doctors, and abortion doctors have been killed because they talked about it. They're clearly pro-life. Melvin, what about all these guns? What about the fact that they all have guns? Even right now, the Branch Covidians, the people that are at the state houses right now protesting, they're carrying around guns. They can't effing wait to shoot somebody. And Melvin, don't forget about how they're protesting against us having any sort of a functioning healthcare system that takes care of all people. Remember when Obamacare happened, they said, hey, we can't cover everybody because we can't afford it. If you think about it, they've never, ever really been pro-life. It's always been the thing where they jump in front of the cameras and they're going to save Terri Schiavo. They jump in front of the cameras and my God, they're just so concerned about the death panels, but they've never actually really been pro-life. It's all been for show. And the fact that in the middle of a pandemic right now, we're actually talking about what an acceptable level of deaths would be tells you everything that you need to know. And let us not forget about this. If our trash-ass healthcare system survives, and I suspect that it may not, because in Oregon right now, the area that I live in, OHSU has decided that, and this is why it's important to be a part of a union, all of their non-union workers, they're going to start cutting their pay at the hospital. Why? Because the way that the hospital makes money is when the health insurance company pays. And there's two things happening. One, people have lost their health insurance, and so they're taking in far less money. And then, of course, the thing that happens all the time where health insurance companies don't like paying for legitimate claims. So the hospitals are taking in way less money right now because of the awful, awful system that we have. But mark my words, if our trash-ass healthcare system that we have right now and have been maintaining for too damn long, if it survives, having COVID-19, even if you beat it, having COVID-19 will become the latest pre-existing condition. And you will not get coverage, or you will pay 10 times more for coverage because you had COVID-19. The numbers right now are stark. 40 people who turned out to vote in Wisconsin have contracted the coronavirus from that particular incident. And from that, of course, those who didn't know that they had it, if they went around other people, likely spread it. See, and this is the choice that you're going to be told that you have to make this year. They told those people in Wisconsin, they said, hey, you know what? If you want to vote, then go out and vote. But you don't get to vote from home, or you don't get to put it off. The governor of the state was trying to put it off. And the Republicans said, no, you will go out and vote and you will die. And they do not care. The thing that's happening right now is some of these Koch brothers groups, like Americans for Prosperity, are now running ads saying the reason the Democrats want you to be able to vote by mail is because they want to steal the election. They want fraud in the election. That's why they want you to vote from home. And they're running these ads telling you to call your senator and call your House member and tell them that we don't want to vote from home. I live in a state where we vote from home, next to another state where we vote from home. You don't get a ballot in the mail unless you are a registered voter. And when you get that ballot, if you get someone else's ballot and you sign it and they match your signature and you sign it and you mail it in and you're not that person, what you're signing is a legal document and you will go to jail. So if there's any doubt about the outcome of the election, they can simply have an audit. If the Republicans think that the fact that they lost means that we need to audit the election, fine. Then pay for the audit. And if the audit comes back that there was no fraud, well, then you don't get your money back. But if the audit comes back and there was fraud, then the Republicans will get their money back. The real problem, and I think everybody knows this, and although Americans for Prosperity, which is a Koch brothers-funded group, isn't saying it, they know that the Republican Party cannot win if everybody votes. They've known this forever. And Donald Trump, although even though he wasn't supposed to say it, said it out loud this year. Oh, and in Kentucky, the people that turned out for some of those lockdown protests, you know, the branch COVIDians, a bunch of the people that turned out for those lockdown protests have now come down with COVID-19. So bang up job out there, Kentucky. Bang up job. Maybe you can handle it the way Indonesia handled it. Indonesia decided that they weren't going to take it seriously and that they were just going to handle it with prayer. Try that, Kentucky. You know, just throw everything back open and just try praying. I mean, that'll take care of it, right? Good job, Kentucky. The other thing that we saw in this past week that inspired me that should not have, and definitely should not have happened, was these videos. Like, so we had these lockdown protests with the Branch Davidians. Healthcare workers decided, in their full healthcare gear, to go out in the street and stand in front of these folks and tell them, go home. Jesus Christ, you're go home. It's a real disease. We're all going to get sick and we're all going to die. I learned about 200 healthcare deaths, which are healthcare workers. 200. So when you hear that, you go, well, God damn it, Melvin, 56,000 people have died already. What's another 200? Let's take one for one. Every single one of those people, every single one of them, meant the world to somebody, and very likely meant the world to multiple somebodies. That's one. Every single one of those people was a productive member of society that dedicated their lives to helping people. And one healthcare death, even with all of those other things, one healthcare death also means this. That one healthcare worker is no longer saving multiple lives. So when we lose one of our healthcare workers because they're overworked or because they don't have the correct PPP or because the president, you know, hasn't used the Production Act in order to our country to start making PPE gear again, the fact that he's having states compete against each other to get PPP, when we lose another person, especially if that person is a healthcare worker, we're going to lose that many more people who are not healthcare workers because that's another person who's not taking care of other people. I would love to say that with these lockdown protests and with the fact that healthcare workers are having to jump in front of these Nazis and tell them to go the F home so that they don't kill more people, I would love to say that in the United States, Donald Trump's goose is cooked. And there's no way that he's going to win re-election because America is going to side with the healthcare workers and not side with the Nazis. But I'm already hearing complaints about the election. Hey, it's another effing election where we don't have a choice. And that's not the guy we wanted. And we wanted Bernie. Hey, I wanted Bernie Sanders. I wanted Elizabeth Warren. We got two choices this year. You get the rich, white, out-of-touch old man, or the rich, white, out-of-touch old man who doesn't say lots of racist stuff. There are some differences between these two candidates. Now, you got to squint real hard sometimes in order to see it. But if choosing between the healthcare workers and the Nazis, this is where you're going to get tested, America, okay? Are you going to stand with these healthcare workers or are you going to stand with the Nazis? And hold on. I'm going to add another thing to that. So you say, well, Melvin, Joe Biden, our current trash ass system, this candidate, Joe Biden, a trash ass candidate, he likes that system. As a matter of fact, when he became the apparent nominee for the Democrats, healthcare stocks went through the roof. And you got to remember, that was during a time when the stock market was tanking every single day. And then one day, almost inexplicably, the stock market went up. And one of the largest reasons that it went up was because these health insurance companies said, hey, great, fabulous. No matter who wins the election, the health insurance companies win. But for what's happening with COVID right now. But for the fact that hospitals are talking about running out of money and not being able to pay their workers. Because what's happening with COVID-19 is you have all these uninsured people coming in. And they can't pay. But COVID needs to be handled. I would love to say that the Biden is learning something from this time and that he's going to do something about it. And that even though Biden likes our current trash ass healthcare system, that he's not going to be able to sustain that any longer. Because it's now that we're in a pandemic, it has quit making sense to people. With respect to that, I also want to talk about the other thing with homeless people. There's a lot of homeless people in my area. There's a lot of people that are doing really well. There's also a lot of homeless people. And this is not a Republican or Democrat issue because everybody has been okay with the way that we've done things. Almost everybody has been okay with the fact that we have homeless people. We drive by them. They're on the freeway off ramps. We give them money. We'll give them a sandwich. Sometimes we'll just ignore them or we'll just walk over them. We've just seen them as society's waste. Like, we don't have to worry about them. They're not our concern. They did something wrong. They don't want to work hard enough. We got all these excuses. But the thing we're realizing now, and I've talked about this over several shows, is we are only as healthy as our sickest citizen. And if homeless people get COVID, they can spread it too. Whether you realize it or not, you're coming in touch with surfaces that are touched by homeless. Hey, homeless people use restrooms too. And they tend to use them at, say, fast food restaurants. So if you use a fast food restaurant restroom and they didn't clean up all that well, or you decide not to wash your hands because you're one of those people, you can get COVID from somebody homeless. It doesn't matter that he's homeless. So what we're realizing is we can't just take care of some of the people and then throw the rest of the people away. We have to make sure that we're taking care of everybody. And we're seeing that writ large right now. Before I move on to the next subject, I'm sorry, this just popped into my head. I have to ask, okay, could you imagine the Branch Covidians, all these dumb Nazis that are protesting saying that we should open back up? Could you imagine what the scene would look like if those people were black? Could you? Just think about it for a minute. Okay, just think about what Fox News would say. Think about, you know, what Rush Limbaugh would say and Sean Hannity would say. You know, just think about it. The mayor of Atlanta is black. And if you think race wouldn't play a role, you're out of your effing mind. The mayor of Atlanta is black. And she has shut the city down because she doesn't want people to get sick or die. You know, it's a pro-life thing. Somebody got a hold of her phone number, her personal phone number, and sent her a text message calling her the N-word and telling her she had better open the city back up. Just imagine if the Branch Covidians, these dumb Nazis in front of the state houses, were instead African-Americans. How would we be handling it then? But no matter. Bunch of ignorant crackers, Trump supporters. So for some reason, we're just cool with it. The 3%ers like to call themselves heroes. They see themselves as the defenders of society. They're nothing but a bunch of white supremacists defending a white homeland idea. They're also the folks that love to call themselves patriots. I've noticed that the people who call themselves patriots are far less likely to be patriots than anybody. Like, they're absolutely not at all patriotic. It's insane to me. And what we're learning now is that the people who are willing to be on the front lines, the janitors and the healthcare workers, those are the people that are real heroes and real patriots, not these people that march around with guns and play army man in the streets. So there are any number of apps that are being developed right now by tech companies that are supposed to help us track who has COVID-19. Because the way to figure out how we're going to get rid of it is to first figure out who has it. And so here come the discussions. Oh my God, I don't want to be microchipped. You don't, okay. Melvin, if we let them do this, they're going to microchip us. This is how the microchipping happens. Okay, stop. Whether you realize it or not, ladies and gentlemen, you've already microchipped yourself. Look to your left. Look to your right. Reach into your back pocket if you're standing. And it's very, very likely you're going to find a microchip. Now, I didn't put it there. You put it there. And not only did you put it there, but you pay a monthly service fee to make sure that it's always on. And it's not paid for you, you pay for it. And roughly about every 18 months, you go into your local cell phone provider and you get yourself a brand new microchip just to make sure that you have the latest, greatest microchip in the back of your pocket to make sure that you are never, ever without it. I know that nobody wants to admit it because we love our telephones. They give us everything that we need. They provide us with pictures and books and text and magazines and porn or whatever you're into. But what you don't realize is that you've already microchipped yourself. So stop complaining about the black helicopters and the tinfoil hats and they're coming for our guns. They know already because you've already microchipped yourself. The fact that we're coming up with a way to track who has this disease, contact tracing, who has it, where it is, where it's been, that's going to help us get rid of it. The black helicopters are not coming. It's not a real thing. And if you're concerned about microchips, I invite you right now. Take your telephone. I don't care. Are you standing next to a body of water? Throw it in the body of water. Standing next to a fire? Don't do that. That's not environmentally friendly. You don't want to do that. But you could find a hammer. Everyone's got a hammer. You could find a hammer and you could smash the hell out of it because you have to get rid of that microchip. Now, don't you realize how ridiculous you sound? The concerns over the conspiracy, it's a conspiracy theory. The fact that you're going to be microchipped, it's a conspiracy theory. The things that are said about vaccines, conspiracy theories. No, none of it's proven. 5G is going to make you gay or whatever. So I know it's ridiculous, and I know it's a conspiracy theory, and I know it's not real, but there are a lot of people who do believe that it's real, do believe that it's a real thing. And there's real world effects that are playing out because of that. There was an article in AP last week, and it talked about how in Europe and in the United States, people have begun torching 5G towers. So we have 4G communications right now, and that's how we're connected, you know, with our cell phones. And that technology gets better all the time. Think about the fact that there was a time where you could not get photos or videos on your phone, or if you could, it was usually just photos, and those photos were really terrible and really grainy because they couldn't use up a lot of bandwidth, so they couldn't be that big. But think about the sharp-ass photos you can get on your phone now. Well, this technology just gets better all the time, better connectivity and all the rest, and 5G is going to be the latest thing. And so the conspiracy theories have started. Oh, my God, they're going to put stuff in our brains. People are going out and torching, based on things that they heard on the internet, by the way. They're torching 5G towers. This is a real thing. This is how serious this stuff has gotten. It seems ridiculous to you and I. But what's ridiculous to you and I, as regular, thoughtful human beings, someone, just think of the stupidest effing thing you've ever thought of before. Just think of it. Got it in your head? Whatever that dumb thing is, right? You got it in your head? Somebody believes that. And somebody believes it's true. The earth is flat. Somebody believes that. Black people don't belong in America. It's a white homeland. Somebody believes that. Donald Trump's a good president. Somebody believes that. And so it's important for us to stay vigilant and to fight back against these ridiculous things. Facebook has said that they're going to start labeling misinformation on their site. They didn't want to do it before because free speech. But they said they're going to start labeling misinformation now. And that's a start, but it's almost too little, too late. And obviously, since the 5G theory conspiracy is unfounded anyway, now the thing that's being spread about it is the fact that it also causes cancer and COVID-19. But this is why I'm here. This is one of the reasons I open up this mic and try to talk to regular, thoughtful people every day. It's important for me to know that you're out there, and it's important for me to create this whether people want to listen to it or choose to listen to it or not. This is important. And if nothing else, hopefully I'm providing you with the fact that there is someone else out there like you that is not a dum-dum and is not a quack and is not just wanting to watch the world burn. One last thing, and then I'm a bounce. The masks. Okay, whenever I go out in public now, I am now wearing a mask, and I'm seeing more and more people do it. I don't know how effective it is, but the CDC has said that we should do it. So I'm doing it because the CDC are a bunch of scientists, and they've said to do it. So it doesn't matter what I think about it. I'm doing it because they said to do it, and I trust them. They're the experts. The thing that makes me saddest about it, absolutely saddest about it, and I realized this when I was in Costco the other day, because I smile a lot at everybody. People I look at accidentally that I don't know, the checker, I smile at people all the time. And then I realized when I was smiling behind my mask that they can't see me smile. I'm looking forward to this being over because my wish list is short, but it's important. I want to hug people again. I want to smile at people and have them smile back. I need that. And I've kept employed during this time. I've kept, you know, my stomach, my belly is full, my mortgage is paid. I'm doing a whole lot better than other people. But there's still something missing. And the thing I've realized that is missing that I need is more of that human contact. Now, I'm having that human contact with the people that I live with, but I love the world. I love the country. And I want to begin some of those interactions with people again. I've learned the thing that I need most. When every other need is fulfilled, the thing that I really, really need more than anything is contact with other people. Those basic human things that we used to share all the time that we don't have now. Hey, we're going to get there, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for being here on The Fire You Can't Put Out. Our official home is tfycpo.podbean.com. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/tfycpo. Questions, comments, hate mail, or just a general statement or inquiry, you can email us at tfycpo@gmail.com. We work hard to not only inform and entertain, but also to keep an open dialogue with our growing listener base. So feel free to reach out to us. And as always, thank you for listening. We are the fire you can't put out, and we will prevail, rejecting austerity in favor of prosperity. Special thanks to Kevin for producing, and thank you for listening. This is Melvin signing off. And now that I've woken you up, good morning.